morning conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN is presented by Budget Lumber. Striving to be lumber one.
Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in this morning.
Good morning.
Well, you had the K-3 reopening started on Monday. How are things going with that?
Yeah, we had a great start. It was really wonderful to see our kids back. Great for our staff. Lots of smiles. Amazing how quickly kids adjust to what the new normal is. Kids just settled into the new routines, and you know, staff was really excited to see them as well.
So talk about how it works, because you had a percentage of folks who wanted to stay in distance learning, and so that's a bit of a juggle.
It is, yeah. We essentially started a new online school for our kiddos in K-3. We have about 220 kids that are attending that, and that's off and running well Monday as well. And so we have a spot for kiddos, and parents that fits their needs.
And talk about what your hopes are for 4 to 6 and going from there.
Well, so much of this is probably not dependent on my hopes as much as it is what the metrics look like. There's been conversations about, again, those metrics maybe shifting. We've heard that Department of Education and Oregon Health Authority will look at those this month. We'll see if there's any changes there. Currently, I'm not overly optimistic about the trend we're at here in Douglas County and statewide. We're kind of going in the wrong direction to meet the metrics. But again, we'll have to be at about 10 cases per 100,000 or under for, you know, a certain amount of weeks to meet that. So our hope was to have kids back November 2nd. We'll have a good idea of if we'll be able to do that, or a better idea, on October 12th.
And so it's makes it very hard to plan a lot of things when it's all tied to these metrics and the cases. So you basically got to plan for both scenarios.
Yeah, we have been planning for multiple scenarios all year. We put these marker dates out in an effort to not have to have this yo-yo for our staff, and particularly our parents and kids. So, you know, we hit that October 5th date, which we were hoping for. Great to have kids back there. We've got November 2nd. We're holding off. Really, really hopeful we can get started then. But it really, at this point, will be dependent at what the metrics look like.
And what's the middle school, high school plan?
Well, they will, if we return, they will return on a hybrid model. And so, again, given the, what they call blueprints that were put together with some of the restrictions on opening to keep kids safe, we are not able to open up full-time every day like we were at the elementary level. The elementary level, particularly the cohorting piece of kids not being able to be with more than 100 kids during the week, does allow us to get our elementary schools open by design, but our middles and high will look as an AB model, so they'll be doing in-person classes 2 days a week and doing remote learning asynchronously 2 days a week.
So you basically have the same kids there, the same days, the same group of kids.
Right, and those kids will be the same kids by family as well. So we wanted to make sure if a parent has kids in the middle and high school, for example, they don't have these opposite days. So we have that scheduled and ready to go. And again, we'll plan for that as well as plan for, if the metrics don't pan out.
Now, on Monday, some of the athletic practices began. Talk about what's going on there.
Yeah, so we were able to get our some of our athletes out. They're on a pretty limited basis. Things are different. They're, of course, distancing physically. There's quite a bit of sanitation happening, disinfecting, mask wearing. It is really good to get out and see kids again. They're doing a good job, again, with their blueprint they have. And we've met to also figure out, are there any, do we have any ability to get some of our activities started again as well, particularly some of our vocational ed activities, and we're working toward that as well right now.
So any idea on a time frame?
You mean for the...
For the other activities?
Oh, the other activities. We're working toward that right now. There was an email that went out to advisors and things yesterday. So we're hoping to hear, we'd like to see what we can do to get kids back slowly in those. But again, it also has to follow those same metrics and guidelines. So it's good to have them back, but they're certainly not back as they were.
What do you think, what have you seen this week for the elementary going back that direction? about teachers and other staff have dealt with one model for a few weeks, and now we're shifting. How's everybody doing with that?
It was really interesting. I was able to spend time at our elementary schools the last couple of weeks, and it's interesting to see kids who know their teacher. They've seen them on a screen for a while. They know their classmates. There was a certain level of, I don't know if it was frustration or it's just, you know, things are different when you're doing remote learning. It's different for kids. It's different for families. That seemed to evaporate on Monday when we were out at buildings, just seeing kids come back, huge smiles on their faces. Staff were really welcoming for kids. And I think you just do the best you can do with what you have. And I think we've had some really good successes with that. People have worked, to make that work. And there's some amazing things that have happened. There was a sense of normalcy again, even though the conditions were a little different. Kids had face masks on and just put your backpack here and there's your desk and lots of hand washing. But there was kind of an overall feeling of like, oh, optimism that, hey, we could be back. There was kind of a longing with our four or five teachers who were, kind of seeing those kids there as they're still doing remote learning. But, we'll push forward. We'll follow the metrics and follow the guidelines. And hopefully we can all, get back to normal soon.
How do you handle things like lunch and recess?
Well, again, lots of we've had a chance to work on all the planning for that and scenarios for that. We need to make sure the same things. A typical table that you could fit, 12 kids at can now have 3 kids at it. So we've had to, make sure we have extra spaces for classrooms to come in. We're still in that cohort type model. And it's tricky. There's some tricky provisions right now with staff. Staff can't eat in the same staff room, for example. So there's some juggling. Each building's a little bit unique in space. So we've had some time to figure that out. And I think we've got a plan for that, and it seems to be going okay.
I wonder if going forward, if this is going to impact in the long term how somebody designs new schools.
It could. They certainly, the pandemic clearly was not part of the architectural design of our buildings. I think it could change quite a few things outside of education, but certainly within education. It's a good question. I do wonder about that.
And interestingly, while some of these schools, most of the elementary schools, give or take, from 1950, 1960, when they were built, had this sort of California outdoor model that doesn't look as good security-wise for a lot of things, but actually under this situation, it's probably a little easier to keep people more separate versus all coming through the same door.
Yeah, it is a great point. We've talked about that. It's made me personally nervous to have, I still am a little nervous about the lack of security in some of our buildings. There's not one entry point, all the things you want to make sure you have controlled access. But ironically, those buildings in the pandemic are kind of an advantage, according to public health, to be outside. So, the other thing that's been interesting is we've got some of our buildings, but half of our elementary schools have a dedicated cafeteria. That's not a gym cafeteria. That's been another challenge for those buildings that don't have a spot to, continue the day of, PE, but have a spot for kids to eat. So that's another architectural, we have some differences in our buildings, and we're seeing that.
Wow. What's been the most challenging thing of the last few weeks?
I think that's a good question. I think probably just planning for, I think we've written 7 different blueprints, for example. So it's probably dealing with the changes that come out of whether it's Department of Education, Oregon Health Authority, managing the shifts. Department of Justice is involved in this as well. They're kind of a new player in that as well, around compliance. So I think it's you kind of have a plan and you're working toward that. But those pivots that happen legislatively, kind of planning for those and helping people understand the why behind those has probably been the biggest challenge.
All right, Superintendent Jared Croydon of Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
8:40 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.